is good, defenders. Welcome to episode 282 of the LAFC podcast that has now been heard in 107 countries worldwide. That's right. This is Defenders of the Bank. You know my voice. It's the scarf, J.R. Liebert, here in front of the famous scarf wall, y'all. That's right. Beautiful Lawndale, California. And I'm doing it with my man, one Christian Philly Philemon, straight off of the airwaves at ESPN Plus, my man. Nicely done. Another gig for UC Riverside. Oh, I'm being told to wait. I'm still waiting.
We secured the 3 seed over at the BC place. Played until our boots fell off in the fall of 23. Me and my dear scar have a pot and we try real hard. Nina's sleeping and it's at Cedars. Didn't know we'd gone this far. Oh, when I look back now, that last couple of things forever. But we still have a chance to silence all of our haters in the MLS Cup playoff.
All right, so let me give you guys the thread is that Bryan Adams, I want to say, is our thread there. Is Bryan Adams from Vancouver?
Well, if you go by the trajectory and the consistency of the podcast, I was Philly Adams today for a reason that you're going to allude to. I was Philly Nelson last time around because, well, he is from Austin. And then I did When the Loons Cry as a shout out to Prince, who is from Minnesota. So you're absolutely right. When I Googled musical artists from Vancouver, Bryan Adams came up and instantly Summer of 69 was the jam I had to use. And while I'm not necessarily jovial at the fact that we drew a Vancouver Whitecaps team and a team that we're going to have to face 5, 6, potentially 7 times through the course of the season, I'm still happy that we're in the playoffs. So I figured, what the hell? Let me give you all my tone-deaf voice plugged into a karaoke version of Bryan Adams' Summer of 69.
Listen, I was kind of hoping you'd go maybe with some Carly Rae Jepsen or some Michael Bublé, but I appreciate very much, sir, that you went with the tried and true Bryan Adams. Well done, sir. I know you take great pride in writing these songs. That was rather fun, my friend. Good job.
I appreciate that. Look, I came up with this literally 5 minutes before Lafferty picked me up and we drove out to Riverside. I am straight off of that broadcast. Scarf, it was a tremendous game. UC Riverside, for those of you who don't know, is the alma mater of one Aaron Long, and the game was incredible. UC Riverside needing to fight tooth and nail to earn a shot in the Big West Conference Tournament. They got a player that was not carted off, but red card 15 minutes in. And found themselves down 1-0 in the 75th minute. 32 seconds later, they scored. And then, bro, with 8 seconds left on the clock at the death, they won the game. It was freaking insane.
That's awesome, man. I'm sure everybody watching on ESPN Plus love to hear the call. Congrats to you and Lafferty on the day.
And congrats to you as well, because you also graced the ESPN Plus airwaves. So it's pretty incredible how far you and I have come, starting this podcast in that rec center in West LA in the Palms. And then you and I can legitimately lay claim to the fact that we are ESPN broadcasters. It's happened. We have the proof.
Absolutely. A bucket list day for sure when we got to call that game out of UC Riverside. Also on our bucket list, something we got to check off is that we are part of the Flex family. Just want to remind everybody, flexpowertools.com. Look, there might not be much time left in the LAFC season, maybe only 3, 4, 5, 6 games left, but there's still plenty of time before the end of 2023 to get on over to flexpowertools.com. And whatever you purchase at flexpowertools.com comes with a full lifetime warranty. You guys have heard me say it over and over again. Come on now, flexpowertools.com. Buy yourself a Flex Power Tool. Buy yourself a Flex Light. Buy yourself a Flex, I don't know, radio. And it comes with a full lifetime warranty, people. Make it happen. So flexpowertools.com. And also, again, the Mo Fazio Futsal Court in Southeast LA fundraising effort is still underway. LAFC.com/Mo-Fazio. And today, I'm going to keep it nice and simple. $20. Break out your 20s, everybody. Can't think of a better reason to donate $20 to the Mo Fascio Futsal Court fundraising effort than Denis Bawanga hitting 20 in MLS this year to have our third Golden Boot winner in the last 5 years.
Jeez, the man steals my thunder by picking 20. I normally do the low-balling figures because it's usually somewhere along the lines or close to where I paid my mortgage or some of my credit cards or some of my other bills. Do I have any money left over to buy my LAFC playoff tickets? Good God, I sure as hell hope so. But since you picked my number, I'm going to have to trump you on this one. And I guess now if you say the word Trump, it's viewed as gross and derogatory. So I apologize for that. I'm going to choose the number 33. Not because of Scottie Pippen, but because that is the 33rd goal of the season in all competitions for Denis Bawanga. That puts him third in the MLS as far as the scoring kings category is concerned. Look, it's not the 35 goals that Joseph Martinez banged out a couple of years ago in 2018, and it certainly isn't the 38 goals that Carlos Vela contributed in 2019. But the fact that we have another Golden Boot winner on our side, what team could lay claim to that? Three Golden Boot winners in what, a cup of coffee worth of a franchise's history? As I mentioned on One More Sleep, I've got a golden ball there signed by Carlos Vela and Diego Rossi, as do you, by the way. Shout out athletes in the making. And we're going to get that ball signed by Denis Bawanga, first Gabonese player to ever secure that title of Golden Boot winner in the MLS. And so, yes, that's the reason in my long-winded roundabout way to choose the number 33.
Yeah, look, you asked the question, so I might as well answer. Only the New England Revolution have had three Golden Boot winners over a period of 5 years, but only LAFC has done it with three different players. So pretty sweet that we're able to do that. Back, by the way, when the New England Revolution were doing it, there was nobody in the league. 2002 and 2005, Taylor Twellman. 2004, Pat Noonan tied Amado Guevara of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. By the way, back then, 2004, the Golden Boot winner had 10 goals. It's all weird. It's 10 goals, 11 goals. They did a weird thing. Either way, it's an embarrassment of riches that MLS has right now. You know, Tati Castellanos won the Golden Boot with 19 just a couple years ago. Hani Mukhtar with 23. But Denis Bawanga, 20 and counting on the regular season's over, I guess. But like you said, 33 and counting. He can still move up. It's the most goals in a calendar year. And obviously this year not over. I'm going to make a bold prediction, Philly. By the time we head out of Vancouver and on to Seattle to play on more turf, I think that Denis Bawanga is going to be the second highest scorer in a calendar year, passing the 35 of one Joseph Martinez, who, by the way, I don't know what's going on with Joseph Martinez, but he announced he's not coming back to Inter Miami next year. Why wouldn't you want to play with Lionel Messi? I don't know. I'll play with Lionel Messi.
We've come a long way in this league. You alluded to it on the Happy Foot, Sad Foot post-game reaction, which, by the way, you and Vince did a tremendous job. There were a couple of comments that I witnessed on my drive back from Riverside about how, oh, look, this is a 110 football reunion. Yes, if that's what the millions
and millions
want, let's do a 110 football reunion. Bring back Connor. Bring back Vince. Bring back Jessica Black. Bring back everybody. Let's do this 110 thing. But you mentioned what this league was like back in the day with some of the nuances in the rules. We go from like having graduate students and employees of 7-Eleven to bringing in the likes of Lionel Messi. It's pretty incredible. And it's to get a player like a Denis Bawanga. And look, on a global scale, not that many people are going to know of Denis Bawanga outside of Liga 1 or Gabon. But for this young man to grace this league and do what he's done in a short period of time, pretty darn cool. Giving players opportunities to shine in leagues they would have never thought they would have shined in. And it's safe to say that Denis Bawanga has enjoyed his time in LA, and he certainly enjoyed his time in Major League Soccer with LAFC, Golden Boot winner. And they got called it the other day. He was going to get 20, although I thought he was going to get a brace. Nevertheless, Denis Bawanga, your Golden Boot leader. Well-deserved, my man.
Congrats to Denis Bawanga. And again, just to remind you, that's our third in 5 years. Carlos Vela, Diego Rossi. and now Danny Bwonga.
We'll
get into the usual suspects this day in LAFC history, along with some news and notes, and then we will break down the turf trouble
tie down
we had. Yeah, I don't know, the tie down. I don't know what it was. Either way, we played on turf and we didn't look terrible, so I'll take some solace in that. We got a very poignant this day in LAFC history, Philly. We, of course, are recording this Saturday, October 21st, 2023, and 6 years ago, Philly, on October 1st, 2018, LAFC drew Vancouver at home. So at the friendly confines of Bank of California Stadium back then, it was 2-2 against Vancouver. This time, goals by Diego Rossi and Diego Rossi in the 5th and 15th minutes. With the tie, LAFC earned their 57th point and final point of their inaugural regular season, which was at the time a record for an expansion team. So congrats, and that is our This Day in LAFC History. Philly, news and notes, LAFC has a new owner. Very exciting times. Sean Neff, the co-founder of Beach House Group, a leading innovative brand incubator that has created and launched several notable brands. We're talking Kendall Jenner, Odell Beckham Jr., Tracy Ellis Ross, Shea Mitchell, Millie Bobby Brown, working with all kinds of cool people. Well, now he gets to work with the coolest people ever, the Black and Gold Faithful. Welcome to the ownership group, Sean Neff.
Man, if anybody ever needed to step up our game, it would be us after going through this man's resume. Wild. When I saw the post, and I think it was LAFC Rich who put up the post, welcome to our newest owner. I'm just a skeptical New Yorker. I'm like, all right, who the frick is this guy? And then when you look at the brands that he's launched, in particular that Sunbum brand, I know that I've been in Nordstrom Rack on 100 occasions, and I witnessed that funny-looking monkey on the suntan lotion scenario, and I thought, I love the design of this bottle. I want to buy it over the generic brand that you have at Target. Little did I know that it was Sean Neff that launched this brand. So maybe you and I, that's what we need to do to make a couple of bucks. We could have the Philly and the Scarf sunblock line. Maybe that'll be our key into football ownership. But as we do know from a financial perspective, it can be a money pit from time to time. But hey, look, he can't be any worse than Tony Robbins, right? He provides Sunbum, which protects us from the sun, whereas Tony Robbins, during his time at LAFC, did not a damn thing. So Sean Neff, your barriers of entry are beyond low. All you got to do to prove to Philly, at the very least, Philly, I can't speak for the Scarf, is come to one LAFC match, and I'll already say that you are a much better owner than that idiot Tony Robbins.
Listen, there are already, my friend, plenty of pictures with him at LAFC matches, down with LAFC Rich in that little corner where Rich likes to keep all of his cool friends, and we never get invited to, but that's okay, Rich. We still love you anyway. He is definitely not going to be an absentee owner, so welcome.
Well, then, hey, he's already better than Tony Robbins. He's already awakened the giant within.
In case you guys don't know this, Philly has a particular disdain for one former LAFC owner, Tony Robbins.
Something. How do you claim that you're from North Hollywood, LA? You love LA. You put into something that's LA. You have the opportunity of a lifetime to represent, and you don't show up. You're Casper, the friendly ghost. You're not anywhere there. I hate Tony Robbins. I bought his book because I wanted to read the propaganda that that man spewed. And by the way, it's pretty good. I'm going to give him that. It's pretty darn good. But as far as him being an owner for LAFC and a Major League Soccer, Tony, I'm glad you're no longer here. Take a hike, pal.
Tony Robbins, in case you're listening.
Screw you.
That's all Philly. I don't have the particular.
Try to convince me by giving me access to a free seminar. That's the only way I'll have respect for Tony Robbins.
There you go. All right. There's Rants with Philly back with Tony Robbins again. I miss those days. Oh, the good old days.
If you were being nostalgic, you're talking about, you know, Diego Rossi, you're talking about our season. You know what I'm being nostalgic about?
What's that?
The fact that we're a third seed playoff team. And that reminds me of 2018 when we went up against Real Salt Lake. But we'll talk more about that later. If we're talking.
Lots of nostalgia there. That's for sure. I feel awful for Mahala and Bryce Duke over in Montreal. Philly, your New Jersey energy drinks in the 94th minute, a stoppage time penalty kick by John Tolkien of the New York Red Bulls eliminated Montreal, Mahala, and Bryce Duke from the playoffs. Now, look, let's be real. This was a rough season for Montreal. I want to say they lost 13 of their 17 games on the road this year. They just were not very good, but we always root for our own, and Mahala and Bryce Duke both being in Montreal, we were hoping, but absolute heartbreak, 94th minute PK. So Red Bulls beat Nashville 1-0, and that knocked Mahala and Bryce Duke Montreal out of the playoffs. How about Portland crashing out despite starting the day in a playoff position? They lost 3-1 to Houston. San Jose got a draw. Dallas got a win. Sporting Kansas City got a win. Oh, my God. And just like that, Portland, one of the few turf teams that we won't be playing in the playoffs, Portland's out. It was a rainy day, too, by the way, in Portland. And Philly, you and I, we were talking about Sporting Kansas City at the start of the year. Is this it for Peter Vermees? Why aren't they firing Peter Vermees? 0 wins, 7 losses, and 3 draws after 10 games. 10 games. The season's only 34. And somehow, Peter Vermees, Alan Pulido, Daniel Shalloway, and Johnny Football, Johnny Russell, they found a way to get back into the playoffs. Unreal. And they're not even the last seed. They're the 8th seed. They're hosting a playoff game after going 0-7-3. Your thoughts on decision day, Philly?
Well, first and foremost, I despise the fact that you referred to the New Jersey Energy Drinks as my team.
Yeah.
That would be like me equating the fact that you grew up a Carson Galaxy fan. And I know you didn't, because you've said it on public record that you were a Seattle Sounders fan. I did not like the New Jersey Energy Drinks, nor did I like the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. If anything, I appreciated NYCFC. And good on the man who was set to inherit the fortune of the Lord of the Rings franchise and The Hobbit, Mr. Tolkien. Fantastic.
I don't think that's the same. I don't think they're related.
Do you know that?
I mean, now I'm going to look
at it. Now you're going to look it up. It's exactly why I threw that out at you. Because unlike you, I didn't really watch this game. So my way of coming into this podcast is by throwing curveballs to you so I could just rant and rave about stuff that means nothing at the end of the day.
And
chaos, total chaos. And it's been a while since it's been total chaos. There hasn't been very many pods over the course of the last 6 months where I've managed to knock back a few adult beverages. But I enjoy calling a game and having a drink or two. So needless to say, I am enjoying a Don Julio Blanco. So I am kind of rolling off on a tangent. But last I will say, as you are looking this up, I want to give a shout out to our buddy Miguel and Anna. This coffee tumbler, which you were so kind enough to gift to myself. And Scarf got a good one, too. I just want to tell y'all, this coffee tumbler has been with me on every single ESPN broadcast that I've been a part of. And believe it or not, over the course of the last 14 days, it's been 5 broadcasts. So thank you very, very much. Nothing but love. And now I'm really curious to know if Tolkien's set to inherit Hobbit money.
He is not, unfortunately. And also, by the way, mine's dirty. I have to wash it. I didn't get a chance to wash my...
You can't wash it. You got to wash the insides because the stickers are going to come off.
That's what I'm saying. I have to wash the inside of it. Thank you. I had sticky beverages in there, and now I don't. So there you go. So now I feel
sticky
like
sticky beverages equals stinky tumbler.
Now I feel like a jerk for not using my tumbler. Congrats to Denny Mwanga for winning the Golden Boot. 20 goals, 17 for Giakoumakis, 17 for Lucho Acosta.
Y'all didn't have a shot in hell.
Nope. 6 goals in his final 3 matches, a league high, 5 multi-goal games, tied for the league high with 2 hat tricks. Denny Mwanga, Golden Boot winner. We've talked about that a little bit. Philly, we got an injury to one Jose Cifuentes out in Scotland. Since we last checked on Rangers, they've played 2 more Scottish Premiership matches, a 3-0 win over St. Mirren and a 4-0 win over Hibernian. Also, Sifu was called in Ecuador's national team for 2 World Cup qualifiers, a 2-1 win over Bolivia and a 0-0 draw against Colombia. And things started out well for Sifu. He started and played 90 minutes against St. Mirren. He was subbed out in the 90th minute. I guess they were stalling in a 3-0 win. I don't know. Against Bolivia, while playing for Ecuador, he started and played the first 56 minutes. And then, unfortunately, he picked up a knock in training with Ecuador before the Bolivia match. Before the Colombia match. And he was not in the 18 for either the match against Colombia or the match against Hibernian for Rangers. So we're hoping that Sifu is okay. I've read reports on the Twitters that say he'll be out 15 days or so. So hopefully Sifu's all right.
Pour some scotch on it, some Macallan. Some Macallan 18, because Sifu's got a couple of bucks right now. It's all good. No, 2 weeks is nothing.
All right. Well, you and I got to unfortunately witness some heartbreak for Angel City FC, despite a thrashing, a thorough thrashing of the Thorns, I might say. That's a fun alliteration with the TH sound. I like that. 5-1 to get into the NWSL playoffs. The momentum was high, but they could not keep it rolling in Seattle, falling to Megan Rapinoe, Rose Lavelle, and the OL Reign at Lumen Field, a place where I believe LAFC will be playing in just a couple of weeks. It was unfortunately an 87th-minute goal by Veronica Latsko. A header as she came crashing into the box that crashed out Angel City for the season. An incredible second half, an incredible year for Coach Becky Tweed. And you know what I have to say, Philly, about Angel City next year? It is full Tweed ahead, my friend.
No, I agree. They really kicked things up a notch after they fired Freya. And it was exciting to watch these girls play. I mean, regardless of how you feel, look, these girls from Angel City deserve our respect. They played phenomenally well in these last couple of matches, and they were really exciting to watch. I love the likes of Savannah McCaskill. I love the likes of Alyssa Thompson. And if you haven't had the opportunity to watch these girls play, go out there next season. I mean, obviously, we don't know who's going to be a part of this team next season, but Becky Tweed did a fantastic job. We enjoyed our time together watching the girls play. And a hot take, I'm only going to say this. Megan Rapinoe has her place in history, U.S. women's national team and all that other stuff. But man, like the way she was beating up on poor Allie Riley, if I didn't know any better, I would honestly like hate Megan Rapinoe as a player on the opposing team. I am an Angel City supporter. Our significant others run an Angel City podcast. We've been to every Angel City home game since the inception of the club, and I don't think there's been one player that I've grown to hate more than Megan Rapinoe. She is dirty. But either way, congratulations on a tremendous career. Her time in the NWSL continues to reign on, if you will. Let's see how they're going to shape up against the likes of the San Diego Wave. San Diego, we should talk about some of that in a little bit.
I think we might get to that. Let's chat about that for just
a second. All right, let's chat about that. But either way, Angel City had a tremendous season, and I really do enjoy going to those games. Those girls are beyond talented, very exciting, and the last half of the season, they really deserve to make it into the playoffs. If they would have ran the same way they would have run under Freya, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Girls regrouped. Recalibrated, and man, they were fun. So hats off to them. First playoff run in franchise history. Our first playoff run in franchise history didn't run so well either. But then after a couple of short years, we raised a trophy. So the future is bright for ACFC.
Yeah, look, to me, Becky Tweed should absolutely be NWSL Coach of the Year for what she did. To me, it was the best coaching job in the league, especially because nobody really ran away with the league. It was a very there was a lot of parity in the league for sure this year. And look, Philly has been chairman of the McCaskill Mafia since day one.
Love that girl.
Credit for that. Sarah Gordon, my favorite player on the team right now. And look, being able to pay money and watch Alyssa Thompson, I'll do that any day of the week. So congrats to Angel City on a wonderful second season. 18 lines making up a Brillo pad that looks like a soccer ball that represents the 18 cities that make up San Diego County. Lots of chrome and gradients. And look, I can't use the word that Tom Penn used, but he said, this is not LAFC. This is bleeping better than LAFC. When they asked him about going down to San Diego to start San Diego Football Club, I got to tell you, Tom, we know you're a friend of the podcast. We know you listen. You've been on our podcast. Tom, you done messed up, bud. That is an awful looking Brillo pad of a crest. And honestly, when you have a crest like the San Diego Wave do, and when you had a crest like the San Diego Loyal did, dear God, you can't come out with that garbage.
So 3 weeks ago, I downloaded a ChatGPT variation, and I wanted to play with it because I've got a lot of creative ideas. I'm just not very good at executing things from a graphical perspective. And I was very detailed with the ChatGPT as to what I wanted. I wanted a cockroach with knee-high socks, wearing chucks, sporting blonde hair, playing a Fender Stratocaster. What ChatGPT did blew my freaking mind. Not only did I get what I just stated, it was one of the greatest pieces of art I was ever a part of. Wow. I thought to myself, we are so screwed because this AI is amazing. And then fast forward to a couple of days ago, SDFC or whatever the frick you want to call them, created a logo and gave a very bare bones description as to what went into the thought process. Gave a very bare bones indication as to why they decided to be Chrome. And quite honestly, by looking at it, I don't know if we were looking at an esports team, a Brillo Corporation, something highlighting and marketing Liquid Drano. What a POS. If there's anything that we could all probably agree on is the fact that this is the worst logo in Major League Soccer. By far the worst. You could go back to the MLS 1.0 logos. This is absolute garbage. Tom Penn, you are going to be a soundbite, my friend. And by the way, Scarf, I don't remember the time he was on the pod. So forgive me for having the goldfish memory on there. But Tom Penn, if you think your club is going to be better than LAFC, for those of you watching this, this is my message to Tom Penn.
Look, I'm going to read a couple things from, these are the words of Tom Penn. Chrome is a color, but it's also an effect. It's reflective in nature, and because chrome is reflective, it allows us to bring in what we call the colors of the community. The colors of San Diego, we heard, is that gradient of blue to red to orange to yellow. So basically what you're saying is you couldn't pick one. So you went with, I think it's what, chrome and azul are the two colors? Like, it's just, but like chrome and azul doesn't roll off the tongue the way that azul and chrome does. But azul is just one of the four colors in the gradient that they did there. It's so bad. It's just,
there is no Dana, only azul. Tom, if we can educate words in sound bites, here it is. Suck. Your team already sucks. And there are people out there that are like, this is bad. Delete this and let's just go back and support the loyal. The fact that there are people saying that, I hope to God y'all listen to that, because if there's anything I will credit the supporters and the ownership of the Chicago Fire is when they came out with their putrid logo a couple of years ago and they caught a lot of flack for it, Chicago decided to capitalize on, well, I don't want to say capitalize, that's more a positive connotation, but they decided to do something about it and came out with something better. This is your opportunity with 365 plus days to go to come up with something better. If you are really going to rely on that logo, F off, man. You have no business doing anything great in your first two seasons.
Yeah, months of research went into that. And I just want to remind you
that months of research, my ass.
The crest focuses on four principal virtues, Philly. Gratitude.
Boredom, naivety, lack of research, stupidity. Done.
Gratitude for the community they call home. Proud. Right.
Delete the logo. Wait. There's your gratitude.
Here's one you don't like. Proud, not loud. Living with a quiet and understated confidence.
That's indicating right off the bat that they're losers. Go on. This is fun.
Diversity of communities, neighborhoods, experiences, and cultures.
How? There's one color and it's chrome.
and a state of flow, performing at a peak level and embracing a unique rhythm of life.
Got it. You had to be high as all hell to indicate to think that this was a good logo. This all makes sense now.
There's so much going on. Oh my god.
All right, I'm gonna shut up. Obviously, like, I'll be quiet during the game recap because I didn't really watch this game. This does not sound professional. I get it, but I will toot my own horn. I am coming off of an ESPN broadcast, so I watch the highlights.
Yeah, so man.
Take over the rest, but this is my way of inserting myself into this podcast.
Well, and look, Philly, it's probably for the better because you and I are gonna look, guys, defenders. Listen, just come in close for a minute while we talk to you real quick. We're going to be talking so much about Vancouver over the next couple of weeks that honestly, I don't want to talk a whole lot about Vancouver tonight because we have at least, God, hopefully it's at most, two more matches against the Whitecaps. So what we'll do is we'll get into it. We'll talk about the important moments, but really, we're doing this again two more times in the next couple of weeks, folks. So get ready. You're going to see a lot more of Tristan Blackman. You're going to see a lot more of Richie Larea. Oh, my God, was he a thorn in our side tonight. Look, we know we beat him 3-0 twice in the CONCACAF Champions League. We lost 3-2 to them at BMO in June. All the big players scored in that one. Carlos Vela, Denny Bouanga, Brian White, Ryan Gold. At the end of the day, all that it meant was that they were setting up this fourth and final match for the regular season, and we could have finished as high as second. We could have finished as low as fourth. Turns out we didn't do either of those things. We finished third, and Vancouver, because everybody else in front of them was just beating the crap out of whoever they were playing, they wound up staying in sixth. So what this wound up being, Philly, was a dress rehearsal for at least two more times.
I mean, this is what, our fourth matchup against the, I was going to call them the Canucks, Jesus Christ, which is in the NHL. Yeah, we're going to play them a fifth and a sixth time. We were complaining about playing the Galaxy on a multitude of occasions. Never thought I would get beyond bored of the Vancouver Whitecaps. But this isn't a team I could say I legitimately hate.
Nope.
Yeah, they've done some stuff to us. They beat us at home earlier this season, 3-2. But this isn't a team that I would hear or think about or even circle on the schedule or on the calendar.
No.
And I've been very loud and adamant about how much I hate this best of three BS that we have to endure. But if LAFC does what LAFC knows that they can do, we're not going to have to worry about another home game in BMO Stadium because we're going to beat the pants off of the Whitecaps and then we're going to beat the pants off of them again in their carpet arena. And then we're not going to have to worry about this. We're going to get the winner of what? Seattle and Dallas, right?
Correct.
That's the 2 versus the 7?
Correct.
Then things start to get interesting because obviously there's some animosity and there's no love lost between us and the Sounders. The fact that they've jumped over us is probably what annoys me more than anything. But, I mean, that's a topic to be had later on. The Vancouver Whitecaps. Credit to them, their very first playoff appearance since 2017. Vanni Sartini has been a good coach, and he's gotten a lot out of his players. White, fantastic player. Gold, fantastic player. Richie Larea doing great things. Takaoka denying Denny Bouanga what could have been a brace on this evening. They've got a pretty good team, and I don't hate them, but as we look to face them in the playoffs, they can suck it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, they're led by Vanni Sartini, who, by the way, Vancouver announced his new 2-year extension at like the 3-minute mark of the match. They put it up on the scoreboard. The whole place went nuts. I was like, wait, did Taylor Swift just walk in? Why is everybody cheering right now? What's going on? But no, it was them announcing Vanni Sartini has been extended 2 more years during the game. So that's kind of an interesting way to make your announcement for something like that. They came out in what MLSsoccer.com called a 3-1-4-2, missing their midfielder, Adrian Kubas. But Vanni Sartini at least said into a microphone to someone that if it were a playoff game, he'd play. But maybe that was just a little bit of posturing. Maybe he didn't want to give away too much, thinking we might be able to play LAFC later on. So really, that's the only injury that either side had. Their goalie, Yohei Takaoka, came in riding a 200-minute-plus shutout streak. We took care of that for him in short order. Three on the back line, Jevane Brown, Renko Veselinovich, and, of course, Tristan Blackman, the number three overall pick of the 2018 MLS Super Draft by LAFC. And he did play for us for a couple of seasons before, unfortunately, we lost him to Vancouver. Midfielders, Sebastian Berhalter, Richie Larea, who was by far the man of the match. I know how Philly feels about Sebastian Berhalter. But Richie Larea, love him or hate him, and after this match, you had to have hated him if you're an LAFC fan. It was clear he is the catalyst. He is the pest, the fly in the ointment, if you will, for Vancouver. Pedro Vite, Ali Ahmed, and Syracuse's own Ryan Raposo in the midfield. And they're two guys up top, two of the better players in the league at what they do. 11 goals and 12 assists for Ryan Gold on the season. Only eight players with double digits of both in 2023. Carlos Vela falling one goal short of joining that club. And Brian White with his 15 goals and five assists on the year. He was a Golden Boot candidate, but not a favorite. We've got the guy. In the 18, the five you'll hear about are Luis Martin, David Jr. Hoilette, Samuel Adekugbe, Alessandro Schopf, and Simon Becher. That is your lineup for Vancouver. Philly, LAFC's lineup, my friend.
No surprise, in between the pipes, the prodigal son returns, Maxime Crépeau getting the start in the net. And obviously, it's safe to say that moving forward, it's probably going to be Maxime Crépeau from here till death do us part. Starting in the back line, Chiqui Palacios and Ryan Hollingshead on the outside. The center back role consists of Jesus David Murillo. And the shock, the wait.
What?
Moment of the pot. I can't believe that Giorgio Chiellini started on carpet. But I will praise you, Scarf, on that happy foot, sad foot post-game reaction. You said it. Giorgio is a gamer, willing to take it on the chin or on the knee to go out there and give it all that he can to make sure that his team is successful. I'm stunned that he started on carpet. We were very much under the impression that he would not start because of the carpet. But, hey, at this point, we're going to face them at the very least two more times. So we know we're going to be playing on nice, beautiful, expensive Bermuda grass at BMO Stadium and whatever the hell synthetic POS that BC Carpet Place utilizes. But Giorgio Chiellini getting the start. The midfield, Mati Bogush, Ilya Sanchez, who would get credit for a great and honorable assist today, and the Deutsche, Timothy Tillman. Up top, Scarf, your player to watch, Kike Oliveira, and I'm really proud of that because there are often times on One More Sleep that your player to watch doesn't even play. So your player to watch played today. I love that. On the other side of Kike Oliveira, we have Carlos Vela, El Capitan, El Rey. Say what you want about him. Still love the man, and he deserves a statue in front of BMO Stadium the same way Manchester United deserved a statue of Sir Bobby Charlton. By the way, rest in peace to the legendary Sir Bobby Charlton, 86 years of age, passed away earlier this morning. And thankfully, Manchester United secured a win, albeit a hard-fought win against the last-place team in the Prem. And up top, in the middle, the Golden Boot leader, the third one in franchise history, he's Danny Buwanga. Remember the cadence of that statement, because there's more of that to come.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go. Look, it's very simple. We started off hot. We started off playing very, very well. Third minute, great ball over the top to Carlos Vela, and Takaoka has to make a save. Fourth minute, a missile by Buwanga, and Takaoka has to make a diving save. Fifth minute, we got a great cross by Kike Oliveira, but Denny couldn't get much on the header. Still, I think it counted as a save. And then in the sixth minute, you get Tristan Blackman finding out how quick Kike Oliveira really is. Things were going great. I mean, we're looking fine. And then the 12th minute rolls around in Philly. I feel like, I don't know, four or five times this season, I lost my freaking mind when our defenders were going to ground in the box for no reason. Ryan.
I haven't seen Daniil Maldonado often, and a lot of it, I would say, is predicated off the fact of your hatred towards him.
I'm just saying, if you go to ground in the box, bad things happen. And I guess a bad thing happened in that they earned a PK. It was Richie Larea, first of all, for the entire match. Just in case you're curious, it was Richie Larea. Whatever you're thinking about during the match, it was Richie Larea. Richie Larea was the best player on the pitch tonight for either team. He had the most effect on the match. He was the guy that LAFC needs to target moving forward as a way to take him out. We did a great job of taking Brian White out of this game. Ryan Gault still had his fingerprints on parts of it. But Richie Larea was the undisputed best player in this match. If you disagree, I'll fight you for it. I'll tell you why you're wrong. 15 different times during this match, I thought, damn it, Richie Larea again. And Richie Larea goes to ground in the box because Ryan Hollingshead took him out. Yes. Is he trying to draw it? I was talking with Vince LaRosa, and Philly, you'll appreciate this one. I compared Richie Larea to Reggie Miller and the way that he used to kick his leg
out.
Draw that foul. Remember how he used to kick that leg out to draw that foul on the three-pointer, and it would happen over and over and over again, and you'd be screaming, but he kicked his leg out. That was a lot of what Richie Larea was doing. But luckily, Philly, we have Maxime Crépeau in goal, and that's when the boos started to rain down for their former favorite son of the Vancouver Whitecaps, Maxime Crépeau. Philly, you watched the highlights. You know that Ryan Gault was 6 for 6 on PKs before coming into this match. And yet, Maxime Crépeau says no.
Hey, yo, Richie, you're now 6 for 7. Maxime Crépeau made a hell of a save there. And that is a scenario. And that was reminiscent of what our dude, I love the man, J-Mac did against the Philadelphia Union in the MLS Cup final.
Yeah,
Maxime Crépeau, I have so many positive things to say about him, but he absolutely witnessed, what's the word I'm looking for? That was a PK that was telegraphed. That's the word I was looking for. A tremendous save, and that was huge because LAFC doesn't play very well when the opposition scores the first goal of the game. They generally succeed when they score first. And that was a huge save by Maxime Crépeau, much to the disgringe. That's not even a word. I think I might have just made it up.
Disgringe
of the Vancouver Whitecaps faithful, which, by the way, I have to applaud. I didn't watch the full game. Again, this is not a very professional thing to say, but I was busy. I was working. I was getting paid to do some stuff. That was a really good crowd at BC Place.
Yeah.
And it was pretty darn cool to witness Maxime Crépeau stuff an 11-meter/12-yard PK in front of his former team. I'm glad all of y'all in Vancouver got to witness that because that was a lot of fun.
And I'll say this, they were cheering Maxime Crépeau before the match. They were, you know, they put up a little thing about him. After he makes that PK save, every single time he touched the ball, he started to get booed. And I loved every minute of it. It was, look, we haven't had a villain on our team very often, at least one that was that pronounced during the course of a full 90 minutes. Every single time he touched the ball after that save, they booed him and booed him loudly. If anything, it helped those Vancouver Whitecaps fans pay attention to the match. 28th minute, Murray breaks up a beautiful cross by Richie Larea. Vancouver had numbers. And in the 32nd minute, Matty Bogush absolutely fouls the crap out of Richie Larea. This is not a Richie Larea podcast, but I'm just trying to let you know how often Richie Larea had his fingerprints all over this match. But Philly, somebody else who had their fingerprints all over this match, 34th minute, 20 on the year for Golden Boot Bawanga.
The first attempt that he had that Takaoka saved, that would have been the better looking goal for number 20. Ilya Sanchez is going to get credit for Denny Bawanga's 20th. And I would hope that Ilya Sanchez is going to remind Denny Bawanga that he's the reason why he scored his 20th. Denny in traffic in front of four players. And that's the thing about him. It's Sometimes what was frustrating about LAFC in the past is this tiki-taka passing in the box with no freaking result. But Denny Bawanga is a different caliber kind of a player. Again, in front of traffic, in front of four players, he manages to sneak one, I believe, to the right side of Takaoka, and that's his 20th. That is the exclamation point on the golden boot, and would have loved it for that to have been the only goal in the game. But hey, Ilya Sanchez, good pass in. Denny Bawanga, ambitious shot. On frame, on target, past Takaoka, 1-0, LAFC, Denny Bawanga, you deserve your golden boot, baby.
Oh, yeah. The shot goes to Bawanga's right. I believe that was a dive to his left for Takaoka. But either way, I mean, there were four players there. Four players. And still, he found a way. Dude is pretty good. 44th minute. This is when it started to become silly season. I didn't even bother looking up the ref's name because I don't like you and I don't want to give you the time of day of doing that. But in the 44th minute, a yellow for it was a late hard challenge by Cheeky, but it seemed like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a soft yellow, a little early in the game for one of those. 45th minute. I got to talk about Matty Bogosz. He was in the right place at the right time on a couple of these. A great takeaway in the 45th by Matty and an even better ball into Carlos Vela. It was like this cross, this beautiful cross. But Carlos, he got caught up trying to use his left foot rather than his right. So he just got a toenail on it. And unfortunately, it streaked past goal. Denny Bawanga with a yellow card at midfield in the 4th minute of stoppage time, which was absolutely a light yellow card. And we go into the half, Philly, up 1-0, 45 minutes to go. And Brian White's not scoring 5 goals, so you might as well just wrap up that golden boot, head it on over to Denny Bawanga. But we also had 45 minutes to go, Philly, to hold on to second in the West and home field against everybody but St. Louis.
A good position to be in. Obviously, second place is the position you'd want to be in because who do you want to combat yourself against? FC Dallas? Or the Vancouver Whitecaps. From an entertainment perspective, it would have been a little better going to Frisco, Texas. Unfortunately, we got to go back to Bad Carpet Place. And that's pretty much all I have on that. It wasn't going to be. I don't have halftime stats because, as I mentioned to you, I didn't watch the game. And I hate sounding like I was unprofessional, but hey, I was doing something. So I'm relying heavily on you today, Scarf. And that makes my job easy. You are the play-by-play podcaster. I am just simply saying stupid things in misappropriate places.
Listen, they don't call you the best color man in the business for nothing, my friend. Let me tell you.
Which is funny. And I got to tell you, the first time you and I called the game together, it was pretty much a Defenders of the Bank podcast. Because anytime I call a game, I'm usually the play-by-play commentator. When we called that first game at UC Riverside for the women, you assume the play-by-play role. I'm like, all right, oh, cool. All right, this is fine. I'm just going to like say dumb things and say what I see and how I feel when I see it. And that's how it was. But then obviously you're no longer a part of that. And then I go back to the play-by-play thing. I'll tell you what I enjoy real quick. And then we go back into this game. I'll end the soliloquy. What I enjoy about doing Defenders of the Bank with you is I actually get to assume a completely different role than I assume in anything else I do. Whether it be Striking Fury, whether it be the play-by-play in the MASL, whether it be the play-by-play in the WPSL, whether it be now the play-by-play for UCR on ESPN+, I have to be somewhat more professional in what I do, whereas you are the professional character here on Defenders of the Bank. So I get to sit back and have fun, add my quips, whatever intelligence I still have left to display comes as a result of like your brilliant research. And I applaud you for that. I really enjoy the different role that I have here on Defenders of the Bank. It's a lot easier than what you do, and it's a lot more fun for me.
Well, I love you, buddy. I'm definitely having fun either way on this journey with you. That's for sure.
Wow,
I was not having fun watching Timothy Tillman miss a perfectly good opportunity on a corner kick in the 56th minute. What God did was that he just put the ball at Timothy Tillman's feet and said, kick in this direction. And Timothy Tillman said, no, that's okay. I'll kick the other way.
It's a very German thing to do.
It was very frustrating. It was a perfect corner kick by Matty Bogosz. A perfect corner kick that, look, I get it, right? There were a couple players right in front of Tillman. So he thought, I don't know, one of them is going to jump, head the ball. Something's going to happen. There's no way the ball is going to land perfectly at my feet. Oh, it did. It did. And Timothy Tillman, we should have been up 2-0. Instead, though, Matty Bogusch gets a yellow card for delay, and just 1 minute later, a little give and go from, wait for it, Richie Larea to Pedro Vite, back to Richie Larea, who crosses it for Ali Ahmed, and who did not get a good touch on the ball, but it wound up working out okay. He kind of turfed it, but it bounced up nicely, found the back of the net. Nothing Maxime Crépeau could have done. A wide open shot for Ali Ahmed. And it's Richie Larea with the primary assist and really who did all the work on that play. Very, very frustrating, Philly, that now we're in the 58th minute. We're 1-1, and we see our standing in the MLS Cup playoffs. Now we're down to 3 in Seattle because they were beating the tar out of, who did they play? St. Louis? Yeah, St. Louis, right? Yeah. Beating the tar out of them. We are now in 3rd place, and it looks like we've got more games on carpet coming.
Ali Ahmed is not known for scoring goals. I mean, he's a defender. I think this might be his only goal in the history of his career playing for the Whitecaps. Yeah, it is. This is his only goal as a member of the Vancouver Whitecaps, which makes it even more frustrating. But there was Richie Larea, like you said, the best player on the pitch. And in the short, limited amount of time that I got to bear witness to what happened at BC Place, he did some things. He tore up some carpet. I mean, there was one that during that sequence, I think Chiqui Palacios got nutmegged on there. And this is one of the best defenders in Major League Soccer. The cross was brilliant. The shot was brilliant. There's nothing that could have been done other than the fact that like you could physically tackle Ali Ahmed. And the most unlikeliest of goal scorers happened to find the back of the polyethylene in 1-1. Not a shock. Not necessarily a surprise, but certainly a frustration because that lock on the second seed starts to diminish at this point. And it's just ironic. A player who doesn't score goals scored a goal against us to put us in a very familiar place. And I mean, 3rd seed, very familiar as to how we got one in 2018. Not in terms of performance, but in terms of like final result. We were the 3rd seed in the playoffs in 2018.
So I don't mean to correct you, sir.
Oh,
but a couple things. One, you said polyethylene rather than polyurethane. Which one is it? Now I don't know. Or can they both be used to make
you? Mess? You keep talking, and I'm going to look it up.
Because polyethylene is a member of the important family of polyolefin resins. It's the most widely used plastic in the world, being made into products ranging from clear food wrap and shopping bags to detergent bottles, whereas polyurethane is a plastic material.
Polypropylene. Gosh darn it.
The nets made of polypropylene?
No. The nets for open goals are made of high-quality polyethylene. I was right.
Ah, you usually say polyurethane.
I've never said polyurethane.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, maybe I'm lying.
Someone go back.
But on the broadcast today for UCR, I definitely said polyethylene, and thank the heavens that I got this one right.
All right, so here's the last thing I unfortunately have to correct.
Yes, Pian, you're welcome.
That is Ali Ahmed's 3rd goal in a Vancouver Whitecaps uniform.
Then screw you, Wikipedia.
He did score against Montreal in a 5-0 win in MLS, so it was only his 2nd MLS goal of the season. Either way, it sucks that he scored it because now it's 1-1. We're back down to 3rd in the West. Maxime Crépeau in the 62nd minute. Ilie, I think for a quick minute, forgot who he was playing for. The ball kind of ricocheted off of Ilie. And if Max isn't standing right where he's standing, Ilie scores a goal for Vancouver. So thank you to Maxime Crépeau for the save on Ilie Sanchez. Philly, 67th minute. Kellen Acosta comes back in for Matty Bogusch, which is good. Kellen Acosta coming in, feeling healthy, getting some burn. And Kiki Oliveira comes out. Kiki Oliveira was very, very good for the first 10 minutes and then never heard from again. I don't know what happened to Kiki. I know he was out there on the pitch. I saw him, but he was just nowhere. Speaking of players that are nowhere, Mario Gonzalez comes in for Kiki Oliveira. And more on El Agua Pistolero in a little bit. We have Martens and Adekugbe coming in for Javane Brown and Ryan Raposo. Ilie gets an easy yellow for, wait for it, tugging on the jersey of Philly. I'll let you fill this one in. Uh-oh.
No, you didn't lose me. Oh, I just wasn't paying attention.
Whose jersey did Ilya Sanchez tug on to earn a yellow card? I'll give you one guess.
Ooh, Brian White.
Richie Larea, because it was always Philly. Richie,
I told you I didn't watch all of the highlights.
I'm telling you, every single time, the answer to the trivia question tonight is Richie Larea. The guy was an absolute Portland thorn in our sides. I can't stand the guy. Oh, my God. Philly, 70th. Here, we'll try again. You ready, Philly? Ready. Get ready. 73rd minute, Philly. Cheeky Palacios tries to go shoulder to shoulder. A stupid foul in the box leading to another PK. Who might that player be that gets fouled in the box to earn yet another penalty for the six for now seven? Ryan Gauld, Philly, who was that player?
Vanni Sartini. I'm just kidding. Richie Larea.
Richie freaking Larea. He was.
Hold on. You like the reason why I stopped paying attention. What player did you mention coming off of the bench, inserting himself into the lineup for LAFC?
Mario Gonzalez.
All right, hang on. This is if there's a soundbite that sums up my thoughts on Mario Gonzalez.
I'm ready.
Oh, this will probably be an ad. Hang on. Oh. Sorry, hang on. Hold it. This is Mario Gonzalez. There. That's where the ADD took me. I'm sorry.
Poor Mario. Yeah, yes, you have to understand. Philly is in a whole different world doing this episode. This is kind of fun to watch Philly. He's like working on stuff on the internet while we're doing this. I can see it. It's fun to watch. So look, we get Max for getting a yellow, for getting out there and kind of delaying the PK, and the place went nuts when that referee showed Maxine the yellow card. It was like, you know, a rock star coming out. It was pretty great. Giorgio Chiellini got a yellow for dropping however you can say all the swears in Italian. He said it all to them. And you had Ryan Gauld, Philly, coming in 6 for 6. And then, unfortunately, Maxime gets a save on one, and Maxime got in his head, Philly. Maxime got in his head, and for a second time, this time, it's not Maxime Crepeau, but it is the thought of Maxime Crepeau. Philly, he bangs it off of the corner of the crossbar. He's 0-for-2 in this game after being 6-for-6 for the season.
Thank God. I'm glad that I get to entertain you right now before you are, at this point, you're 4.5 hours away from flying out of LAX. I'm glad I get to entertain you.
Your favorite player, Sebastian Berhalter, gets a yellow for a foul in the 76th.
I hate Sebastian Berhalter. I'm just not a big fan of his pappy. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, I love it. Denis Bawanga with a free kick off the foul, and it was right on the money, but a good save by Takaoka. Cheeky Palacios comes out in the 78th minute for Sergi Palencia, and we had a couple of subs for Vancouver as well, Ali Ahmed and Pedro Vite coming off. I really thought Giorgio could have picked up a second yellow in the 86th minute for one of his fouls. He didn't, thank goodness. And in the 85th minute, we see Carlos Vela and Timothy Tillman come off for Nathan Ordaz and Fufu Krastev. And, oh, Philly, right after that, there is a, and unfortunately, I didn't write this down, if it was either a free kick or a corner kick. No, it was a cross. Excuse me. It was this beautiful cross. And, of course, it's Richie Larea wide open on the opposite side of the box. He couldn't settle the ball down, and you heard the several thousand that were there in BC Place just let out this groan because it was an absolute sitter if he's able to set this one down. He could not. The ball moved past him. We live to fight another day. But, Philly, speaking of sitters, El Agua Pistolero is 1v1 because of a beautiful pass by Denis Bawanga to spring him.
No, keep talking. I'm waiting for the sound effect.
Yeah. Mario Gonzalez, 1v1 against Takaoka, and bringing up shades of Ken Dryden or Patrick Waugh. It's a kick save and a beauty for Yohei Takaoka, And on the doorstep, Mario Gonzalez makes us think of which sound effect, Philly?
Sometimes I hate YouTube.
I tried to cue it up for you.
No, I know, but so many, you wouldn't believe how many like techno songs sample this. It's unreal. Hang on. the buildup. Just keep talking. I have to go for a commercial break.
All right. Well, look. Stoppage time is only 5 minutes long, folks.
Oh, it's coming up. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Oh, Mario Gonzalez, at the very least, if you don't care to be here, act like you do. I don't want to say you're a complete bust. Yeah, all right. I'm going to wait. I'm going to refrain. Maybe you come through in the playoffs. There's still plenty of time to come through, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I can't help but think El Agua de Pistolero has the same sound effect in my head as Super Mario dying in the very first rendition of the well-loved and coveted NES game of the early 80s.
Yeah, look, he's at least still putting himself in the right spots, right? I mean, he's making the runs. He's running his lanes. He's where he needs to be.
Sure, you can make the same argument when Super Mario would actually jump on the lava. He was making his push towards Bowser. Fact of the matter is, he jumped on the lava. He didn't get that far.
We have to clip that one and save that for later. That was pretty good. Stoppage time became the Fufu Krustev show for at least the first couple of minutes. He was a little selfish with the ball. He was also playing at about 117 pace when he needed to slow it down just a little bit. Got nothing on a shot after a really nice steal in the first minute of stoppage and then another good run by Fufu. But unfortunately, it's all for a goal kick as he can't control it before it goes out of bounds. I really like what he provides in limited minutes. Philly, we were talking about it. He scored twice this year within 6 minutes of coming off the bench. We couldn't, unfortunately, get anything from him, though, in this one. And Philly, we end 1-1, and all it means is that Saturday, October 28th, I believe, right? Is it Saturday, October? I'm pretty sure that's right.
Should be.
At BMO Stadium, we get to welcome these very same Vancouver Whitecaps to the first round of the playoffs.
Again, we complained that we would have the Galaxy several times a season. Now we're just going to Vancouver Whitecaps. This is the team that we're going to play again and then again. And it better not be a third again. Because then that would just suck. Then that would mean we're out of money to watch Vanni Sartini and the Whitecaps. Not exactly a team that's going to strike fear in the heart of the opposition. And a team that we've well put the shebang bang on. But therein lies the tale of the tape. And you know what? Consider that a fortunate thing. Because we've been really successful against the Vancouver Whitecaps. Historically and more importantly this season. Yes, we're in the third seed. We were in the third seed in 2018, and that didn't work out very well for us. But I think that Real Salt Lake team in 2018 was a much better team than this 2023 version of the Vancouver Whitecaps. I hope to God we go out there and put the shebang bang and smack them with a shillelagh, leaving them battered, beaten, and bruised, only to succumb to us in BC Place and for us to move into the next round, hopefully, against the Seattle Sounders, a team that I would still love to avenge our 2019 Western Conference Finals loss to. I haven't forgotten about that. That was a season in which, well, we were left with a very bitter taste in our mouth. But either way you slice or dice it, there's going to be two One More Sleeps and two podcasts based on a team that we've already talked about 8 times this season. 4 One More Sleeps, 4 podcasts. I'm kind of bored of the Vancouver Whitecaps scarf.
Here's the one silver lining, though, Philly. We've gotten to play them as many times as we will because we got to face them twice because we qualified for CONCACAF Champions League, and now twice because we're obviously in the playoffs. So at least we're doing it for good reasons. We're making it to deep runs in tournaments for cups and trophies. Look, we'll talk a little bit about this next episode when we get the playoffs started, but we have to get that first win at BMO. We absolutely have to get that first win at BMO. I know they beat us 3-2, so they're probably feeling pretty confident that they can win at BMO, but we have to score early, extinguish all hope. We finished third in the West behind St. Louis and Seattle, which means either games against those guys will be out on the road. So get your flights ready for Seattle and then maybe, and then St. Louis after that. But otherwise, Philly, we're on to the playoffs for the fifth time in six seasons. It doesn't get much better than this, my friend. This is the fun part. So we get to rest up for an entire week. Everybody seemed like they left this match healthy. Carlos Vela always looked like he's grimacing or wincing at something. Chiqui Palacios seemed to be healthy. Hopefully that's not why he came out in about the 76th minute. But Philly, we are on to BMO in a week to take on Vancouver.
Yeah, we just don't know the time as of yet. So we'll be back together once again on a weekend, a tailgate, a fun festivity to happen. And you're right, we can't afford to lose at BMO, at home against a team that, yes, fine, they've beaten us, but nevertheless, they're still the Vancouver Whitecaps. And while that's not something that's sexy or scary, we still need to win. And we still need to continue to advance. And I have about 120 seconds left before I could secure this Postmates order from McDonald's. So carry on.
You're literally Postmating right now?
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten since 5.
Well, you know what? Seems like as good of a time as any, Philly, to tell everybody how we always like to end our podcasts, including this one. 282 on our episode count. It's Bawonga winning the Golden Boot and LAFC winning more time in Vancouver. You guys know how we like to end all our podcasts. And as Philly gets his McDonald's DoorDash order, we say to you, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.